We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, we only talk to the best and the brightest minds in the sports industry. That's why we invite Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus to pull up a stool and join us in the sports bar. Steve, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Steve, appreciate your time. We first spoke when you were down right after the Senior Bowl, then in Indianapolis, and now here we are, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. But I think it's good to talk to you because you're a guy that looks at the numbers, and right now we're just getting, I don't know, like every year, so much false information right now. And I mean, what you're hearing about quarterbacks going in the first round, what do your numbers tell us about guys that could go in the first round? Should we believe any of this right now?
I think there's a lot of smoke screens out there. I think the quarterback class has enough questions already, and then you get more questions filtered out there, whether they're fake or not. But, you know, they're going to be a big story in the first round. I think a lot of it's going to come down to fit. And as much as there are teams like the Browns, the Bears, the Jets, you know, the Bills, you could throw them in there that need a quarterback or at least in the market for a quarterback, you know, they still might fall. And because there are enough questions, it's going to take teams falling in love with a Trubisky, falling in love with a Watson. And I don't know that they've completely sold teams yet. So these guys might fall to the middle rounds or the late part of the first round, I should say. So there's a lot of fake stuff out there, you know, because I think that's teams just trying to go get their guy and set things up so that they can get the guy that they're looking for.
Put a number on how genuine you think it is. All like I say to myself right now as I read reports about workout, maybe like 5% of what I'm reading, I believe.
It's probably 5 to 10. I think there's usually a handful of stories. If you work back and you say, okay, I heard that in March, I heard that in April, and oh, it came true in late April. That's very rare that happened. I think the Blake Bortles thing a couple of years ago, Jacksonville was essentially, you know, cited with every single player, you know, every player but Blake Bortles. They kept it close to the vest. They told two people in the entire organization. So teams do it differently every single year. It's always kind of the fun part of sorting through that stuff during draft time.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, is our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. So the quarterbacks you have ranked here in this class, do you have any of them worthy of a first-round grade?
Yeah, I would still look at Trubisky, Watson, and Mahomes as first-rounders. A lot of it's just going to be the fit in the situation. I think Mitch Trubisky, with his 1 year of production at UNC, that raises some question marks. But for me, I look at that as a positive. There's still room to improve. But he's shown a lot of NFL-type traits, from pocket movement to the ability to drive the ball outside the numbers, his short area accuracy. He does a lot of things really well. I think Watson, you know, if you give him a clean look pre-snap, he can move the chains, make the necessary throws. I think he needs to develop as a pocket passer, his ability to go through progressions, but there's certainly a lot of talent there. And then Patrick Mahomes, I think, is just this big wild card because there's so much talent, there's so much playmaking ability, but it needs to be harnessed to a point while not taking away that natural aggressiveness. And then, so I think those guys end up in the first round. I think DeShone Kizer has a chance in the first round because, you know, his best plays probably look as good as any quarterback in this entire class. It's just a matter of consistency. And yes, he can make all the throws, but can he do it on a throw-for-throw basis? So I think, you know, everybody comes with their question marks, and it's going to be a matter of finding the right fit for each guy.
All right, Steve, can we distill it down in the first round with these quarterbacks and say one of them will be selected in the top 10, as has happened 15 out of the last 16 years at the draft? Which team and which quarterback could go in the top 10?
I look at Trubisky's fit with Chicago as a good one. I don't think Mike Glennon and his essentially what's a 1 year contract for him, I don't think he's going to keep any team from drafting their quarterback of the future. So I think Trubisky to the Bears still looks like a really good fit. You could probably take it a little bit easy with him, with Mike Glennon on the roster, and develop him. But I think Trubisky's skill set, his tools, probably too much to pass up. I think there's a lot there and a good fit in Chicago.
Steve Palazzolo joining us here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. As far as defensive backs, and this is an area here in Western New York and Bill's country, we know some of the top names here in this draft. Who do you think might fall to the Buffalo Bills if they were going to go in that direction, Steve, at number 10?
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, I think, would be the best-case scenario as far as falling. You know, he has it all. He could do it all as a corner with his size and movement skills. It's interesting because I think the cornerback class is just loaded, but I don't love guys in that, you know, 5 to 15 range. So I think Buffalo's kind of in this no man's land where it might be a slight reach to grab some of these guys, but I'm a big fan of Tre'Davious White from LSU, probably a little high for him at 10. And, you know, Tease Tabor's falling down the board in Florida. He might be a good guy to grab in the second. Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, size and movement skills to play press man coverage and to play zone coverage. I think Humphrey, from a pure fit standpoint, might be the best fit for Buffalo if Sean McDermott's going to employ that same, you know, similar scheme that they had at Carolina, which is a lot of off coverage, a lot of zone type concepts. Humphrey's excellent at that style, so I think he might be a really good fit for them.
We've kind of come to a conclusion here as far as what the Bills should do on draft night, that it's in their best interest to move back in the draft wherever possible, right? And when you, especially when you consider the kind of depth that you're just talking about there at corner, they at 10, do they not have the best of both worlds? I mean, they're in a position where if quarterbacks go early in the top 10 in this draft, those skill position players fall to the Bills. And if they don't, well, because they have been doing their quarterback visits and because they do have a long-term need at quarterback, teams might actually move up to try and get one from the Bills at 10. I mean, play that scenario off for me and give us a little hope and optimism for draft night that the Bills actually, at being at 10, might be in the best spot possible in the first round.
I think it's a good spot because of perhaps the players that might drop. I mean, every time I redo a mock draft, I look at Jamal Adams from LSU, and sometimes there's just a little better fit for a few of those teams. So I've seen Jamal Adams fall in my life, in my world, when I'm doing these mock drafts. Mm-hmm. I think Jonathan Allen could absolutely fall, and he's a guy from just a pure production standpoint on the field you just want to pounce on. The issues there, the arthritic shoulders, didn't crush it at the combine, but on-field production has just been outstanding. I think he'll translate well to the NFL. I think the Bills are in a good spot to maybe grab one of those falling players, or maybe a Corey Davis, a guy that I keep slotting in, maybe the Bengals at 9. But if they don't go there, if the Bengals grab an edge rusher, maybe Buffalo looks at Corey Davis, who would be a great complement to Sammy Watkins on the other side. So I think they are in a very good spot because it's very unclear who the players will be from about 2 to 10. But anybody you get right around 10 and beyond, I think, is going to be a very good player. And I think you'll get some top 10 guys that are going to fall even further, and they'll have a chance to pick them up.
We've been debating the wide receiver, too, because a lot of fans, as you could imagine, and we live in a fantasy era, Steve, where this is what people are used to, but the Bills would be the only team in the league with two top 10 picks of their own at wide receiver, having already spent a first round, technically two, I guess, on Sammy Watkins with that trade. If the Bills go with a wide receiver, can you say two guys like that could coexist? If you take a number one receiver like a Mike Williams, like the receiver from Michigan, Western Michigan?
Yeah, I think they can coexist. I look at the NFL today, and I think more than ever, you need multiple playmakers. You need receivers with different skill sets and tight ends with different skill sets. So you look at the best passing offenses, they've got a big receiver who can go up and get it. They have a shiftier guy who can run routes really well. They have a speed, a deep threat. So I think it's all about fitting those pieces in. That's why I think Corey Davis would be a good fit there. I think he's a better route runner than Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins can be their deep guy. You can play to their strengths. If you grab a Mike Williams, he's a guy that goes up and gets the ball. It doesn't necessarily have to separate. He can go up and make plays. He can move the chains, be more of a possession receiver. If you get John Ross from Washington, maybe he's a little redundant to Sammy Watkins, but Watkins doesn't have that type of speed, 4.42, that legitimately plays on the field. So I think there's absolutely room for that other wide receiver. And I know it's tough because they gave up so much for Watkins a couple years ago. That was probably a mistake because you're giving up so much for one player, but they are where they are right now, and I'm all about adding more playmakers because I think that's how you can really win in the NFL these days.
Steve Palazzola from Pro Football Focus. I hear what you're saying, and I've been also saying that Mike Williams, to me, just looks dynamic, and I know that he would be another number one, and you don't need two number ones wide receiver on a team, especially when you consider who's throwing him the ball. So, again, do your best to talk us out of the Bills taking a wide receiver at 10 when you consider Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback.
Yeah, so but you want to put the best pieces around Taylor too, but at the same time you want to play to his strengths. So I think there's certainly an argument to be made against Mike Williams. Will Tyrod Taylor take those chances that are necessary to make Mike Williams a productive player? I think he's along that Alshon Jeffery type of player where, again, he's not he might be covered. You got to force the ball into him and let him go up and make plays. That's why he and Deshaun Watson got along so well at Clemson. You know, Watson just threw the ball up and let him make plays. I don't know if Tyrod has that in him necessarily. He's more of a, you know, see if it's there and then, you know, take off and create. So maybe Mike Williams isn't the best fit there. I'd also look at so much defensive talent on the board here. Even spending a first rounder on an edge rusher last year in Shaq Lawson, you can never have too many guys that could just get after the quarterback. I think there's a lot of edge rush talent to grab. There's a lot of cornerback talent to take a look at, especially with Stephon Gilmore looking at. So this is one of those drafts where you can revamp the defense, and especially with the new regime coming in, maybe it becomes this defensive-focused draft to get that defense back on track where they need to be, and they do ignore wide receiver at 10.
Talking with Steve Palazzola, Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter, PFF_Steve. This is the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN. Going back to the other side of the football, two guys I wanted to get your opinion on, because the Bills, if they sit there at number 10, maybe is there any chance Reuben Foster would still be there? And how do you guys grade, you know, Hassan Reddick from Temple? There's a guy that you know, certainly a lot of people are in love with here, you know, or so they say. But he, you know, obviously did not face that top level of competition in college.
Yeah, I think Foster definitely has a chance to be there with his combine episode, getting sent home early. Wasn't the greatest in interviews from what I heard around the combine. So there's absolutely a chance, just like Jonathan Allen could fall because of his various reasons, Foster could absolutely be there. Then it's a question of, do you want to grab an Alabama linebacker two straight years? But I think Foster has legitimate three down linebacker ability. Take the off-field aside, he's an outstanding player, top five or so player in this draft, in my opinion. And then you ask Hassan Reddick, you know, he played on the edge against Temple, and I'm not terribly concerned about the competition level. I think he showed he could produce multiple years. He was unbelievable off the edge, a dynamic edge rusher. Now he's going to convert to more of a traditional linebacker type role. We didn't see him do a ton of that at Temple, but we saw him at the Senior Bowl. We saw him play in space a little bit. Looked great doing it. Unbelievable athlete. I think he's a Jamie Collins type of player that you can have as a movable chess piece on the defense, blitz him up the middle, isolate him on linebackers, teach him how to play in space a little bit more, play in coverage. So I'm all about Reddick. I think he's an excellent player, and I think some teams are going to fall in love with him in that 10 to 15 range, and he's going to go off the board pretty high.
Like we've been hearing about quarterback, we haven't been hearing that there's a lot of depth at tackle in this year's draft. And the Bills have been making they've been making their rounds. They've been going around and talking to and putting them through the paces. Garrett Bowles being the latest. Tell us what you know about Garrett Bowles, projected to go in the first round, correct?
Yeah, he's projected as a first rounder. I think the big concern, he's going to be, I think it's 25 years old. It's not a huge concern, but it comes into play a little bit when you're evaluating him and you realize he's a 24-year-old beating up on some 19 and 20-year-olds in the Pac-12. I think the bigger concern for him, though, is pass protection. When you talk to offensive line coaches, they love him because he's got that run blockers type of mentality, wants to crush everybody, and he's outstanding in the run game, but I think that same mentality gets him into trouble in pass pro. Lunges a little bit too much, you know, tries to do a little bit too much, and I think you really want that elite a pass rushing type of offensive tackle when you're taking them that high. So that'd be my big question about Bowles. Absolutely bolsters the run game, still has to develop in pass protection. But yeah, overall offensive tackle class, they all come with questions. It's not a very deep group in the first round.
Yeah, so many Bills fans will be paying attention, not only day two, but also on Saturday, day three. And what you have told us in the past, Steve, is that this is a great draft here for the corner position, that you might be able to get one. If we are watching on Saturday, the NFL draft, who are some guys that could still be there that you like at the corner position?
Yeah, I think the first guy to keep an eye on is Shaquille Griffin from UCF. He's starting to get more hype, but he's 6 foot plus, excellent athlete, great ball skills. He played a lot of off coverage at UCF, has the makeup speed to just win on the deep ball and win in the deep game. I think he's a guy that's getting more hype, still might end up in the second or third round, but could be there on Saturday. You got to look at Corn Elder from Miami. Again, from a fit standpoint, excellent zone type of corner, fits with what Buffalo is likely moving to from a defensive scheme standpoint. And then Rasul Douglas from West Virginia, another guy with a lot of experience playing off coverage, 6 foot two, can play press, can play off, and a guy that in a deep cornerback class probably gets pushed back.
Steve, every year at the draft, it feels like one team makes a pick somewhere in the early part of the draft, and it leaves everybody kind of scratching their head. And for that matter, in the first round. I mean, we can go back to the Tebow days when Denver, you know, took Tebow and everybody's like, what? What? You know, like every year it feels like that happens. If you had to make a prediction, and I know it's impossible to predict what's going to happen on draft night because it's so unpredictable. I think that's why we love it so much.
You're going to ask anyway, though.
Yeah. Who do you think goes? I mean, who do you think could be the apple of some team's eye to the point where they reach, swing out of their shoes, and make everybody go, what?
I mean, it's not a huge surprise because of the hype necessarily, but two players that I think if, when you really evaluate them shouldn't go as high as the hype, and that's Leonard Fournette and Jabril Peppers. I think you could see people maybe falling in love with those guys and taking them in that top 10 range when I don't see them as top 10 type of players. Fournette, in the right system, can absolutely excel. I think Peppers, you know, there's some other safeties that are probably better players than him, and he got a little bit of a nod for all of the versatility that he brought to the table. So I think seeing one of those big names maybe going top 10 when they're really more realistically mid-first, late-first, early-second type of players, I think is definitely something we could see. The other guy, maybe Obi Melifonwu from UConn, 6'4", 225 or so, safety. Some teams like him as a corner. Freak athlete, a guy that somebody could just fall in love with and take in the top 10. And I don't think that'd be that outlandish, but just from a size and measurable standpoint, just keep an eye on Melifonwu, who somebody's definitely going to fall in love with him.
Steve, you brought up Fournette, so it leads me to this. Teams seem to be undervaluing running backs everywhere, right? I mean, the Ezekiel Elliott story from last year is a nice story, and he's a special kind of talent, but is it more about the offensive line, less about the actual talent at running back? I mean, Fournette going top 10 could happen and shouldn't surprise us, but it will still surprise us, won't it?
Yeah, it would. I just look at running backs that can affect the game in the passing game on third down, and Zeke Elliott, we touted as the best three-down running back in the NFL or coming into the NFL in years. And he became an outstanding runner for Dallas, of course, behind that offensive line, but also catches the ball out of the backfield, and he's a great pass blocker. I don't think you could say the same thing about Fournette and maybe even some of these other guys in the draft. But I think you look at a guy like Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, those guys are receiving threats. They can catch the ball. They can move around. They can do a lot. Even a Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, they just bring a lot to the pass game. I don't know that Fournette does. I think that's the big thing. What are you getting in a league that passes about 60% of the time? What are you going to get from a guy that's maybe your first or second down running back that needs to probably just play in a downhill running scheme, which is, again, limits his options for optimum performance? That's all it is with Fournette. So I don't think he's a great fit for every team, but in the right power running scheme, he can be a very good player.
Love talking to Steve Palazzolo. You can read his work, profootballfocus.com, but most of your work, you did this already, Steve. This is just a fun time to sit back and enjoy what happens here in these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I love it. We've been breaking it down for months and months, and we'll get to finally see it all unfold. It's been a lot of fun. And Everybody make sure you pick up your PFF Draft Pass to learn everything about the entire draft class that there is, PFF Draft Pass.
I like it. Steve Palazzolo, profootballfocus.com. Man, unbelievable job, Steve. I mean, really, I said this yesterday on the air, and I'll say it again today talking to you, Steve. I mean, there are people out there that are working in the industry that work harder for their websites and for the data that they collect than the actual NFL executives who are buying the product. I mean, you know, like you're doing more work than, I guarantee, more work than a lot of people at One Bills Drive are doing right now for this draft.
Steve, how do people pick up that draft draft pass again?
Yeah, it's over at profootballfocus.com/draftpass17. It has stats on over 1,000 players in the draft class, all of our signature stats, and over 200 profiles, 3-year grades on these guys, and basically stuff you can't find anywhere else except profootballfocus.com.
Awesome. Steve, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.